Be not dismayed. He don't want you to be fearful or scared. You know, be not dismayed. And he said, for I am thy God. God is our God. He wants us to know this.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Jesus made a way.
All right. Yes.
Jesus made a way. My brothers and sisters, there is a fundamental question I'd like to ask at the beginning of this message, and it is simply this. What would you do with another chance? What would you do with another chance? My brothers and sisters, this verse begins with the scribes and Pharisees coming together. And the scribes were the lawyers, if you will, of the law. They were the ones who interpreted the law. They were the ones who many times held the scrolls or the law itself. The Pharisees were the religious and the righteous group self, I should say, righteous group of the religious people. So they were like the best of the best in that day. And yet, the scribes and the Pharisees came to do something that was very unchristian-like, ungodly-like. They set out to plot, plan, and to publicly and politically destroy the reputation of Jesus and to put him to death. Does not sound like something religious folk ought to be engaging in. But we see from earliest history that it's been church folk who have been the worst folk to its own folk. It wasn't the Roman soldiers. It wasn't Rome itself. It was the Jews, Jesus' own people whom he came to save, who plotted and planned against him. Now, unfortunately, to make their plot stick, they needed a subject or subjects. So here's where, and I hope you're taking notes because these are important for you to understand the text in your devotional time. Remember, plot, plan, and to publicly and politically destroy his reputation and bring him to death. That's their whole point, and that's made clear in verses 5 and 6. But again, I want you to see that he has to have, or they have to have, some ploys. So the most important one is this woman that they seek after. One, two, they set her up. Three, they single her out. Again, they sought after her. They set her up, and then they singled her out. Now, I need you to know, my brothers and sisters, that people seek you out for what you are, who you are, or for what you've done. And so, obviously, there was something in her makeup that made them desire to seek her out. Because when you're being set up, most times you don't know you're being set up. You're just a part of the plan. You don't realize it until after it's been done. But now here is the interesting part of this story. The record says that they went to Jesus and they brought the woman and said that she had been caught in adultery. In the very act. Now, unless she was on a street corner, this was a very private act. There were no spectators, no people viewing that she knew of. However, when she is brought before Jesus, she's brought by herself. Why? Because she's been singled out. All right? Now, I need you to understand, they came to Jesus to set him up because in that day, when there was a dispute about the law, they would go to the rabbi who would then be able to give the last word concerning that scripture. So they brought this complaint to Jesus and says, Moses in the law says, if a woman or man are caught in adultery, that they should be stoned to death. But we want to know, what do you say? Now, because they didn't know John 1 and 1, they didn't know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They tried to trick the Word with the Word and wind up being tricked by the Word. Because when they went to him to get him to make a ruling as a rabbi, they recognized if they can trick him, one of two things would happen. One, that they would destroy his reputation as a loving savior, as a friend of the sinner, as one who had compassion on the people whom the sinners heard gladly. If he said stone her, it would destroy his reputation for being the friend of sinners. But if he said don't stone her, it would seem as though he was condemning, condoning the act of sin. That he was saying, it's all right to commit adultery. And in Israel, adultery was one of the three major sins for capital punishment. Adultery was a reason why you could be killed. Murder was a reason you could be killed, and idolatry, idol worship, was the third major reasons to have capital punishment enacted upon the citizens of Israel. Now, here's what you need to know. They also knew if he said, stone her, that he would be violating Roman law. They were under Roman rule. Roman rule had taken away the power of the Jews to pronounce death sentences on their own people. That could only come by the Romans. So one way or the other, they were going to trick him and bring him against the people, or trick him to go against Rome. And in either way, they would mess him up. But he was too wise for that. When they brought the woman there, Jesus was not crazy. He knew the word. Listen, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, tells us one of the illustrations about what to do when one is caught in adultery. That's only one instance. But where you get a litany of different and various situations of adultery is found in the 22nd chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 13 all the way through verse 30. And you find every episode of adultery. It was suggested that this woman was engaged to be married. She wasn't married, but she was in the espousal period, which means technically she was already married. The ceremony had not yet happened, but that was a legal binding contract already that said she belonged to another. And so the law was clear that if she was caught in adultery, she and whomever else was caught in adultery with would be taken out of the city, outside the city, and stoned to death. Jesus knew the word. They couldn't trick him. So Jesus hears this. He doesn't see the man. He just sees the woman. What is the woman doing? One, she has been humiliated. Why? Because you can't commit adultery by yourself. They didn't bring the man because the man was a part of the setup. They set her up. They singled her out because they wanted to really catch Jesus. She was simple collateral damage. And you got to know, when the devil is setting you up, it's always so that he's going for something bigger than you. You see, the devil knows that if he can't get the one he wants to get, he gets the one you love. He gets the one that's closest to your heart. He gets the one that will reach you where he can reach you at. And so she was just a ploy. They really didn't want her. They wanted Jesus. And so Jesus finds himself in a situation where he has to do, as always, the right thing. So the word says he stoops down and he writes on the ground. And of course, there are many stipulations and insinuations as to what he wrote. But most scholars will agree that he wrote on the ground sins, just sins. Were they just any sins? Probably not. They were probably more specific sins. And they were sins relative to the men who brought her in, caught in her sin. So he started writing sins down on the ground, and he acted as though he didn't hear them. Why? Because he saw her humiliated. He saw her hurt. He saw her humbled, standing up there, no doubt weeping, in the greatest shame of her life. What was done in private was now publicly exposed. Could you imagine, for just a moment, your secret sin no longer being private? You can sit here and act holier than thou if you want. But think about if you were caught in your sin. The only thing they probably did that was supposedly decent. Listen, do you think they gave a chance to clean up and put her clothes back on? No. They suggest that they grabbed the sheet and wrapped around her and brought her just like that for the sake of evidence. What if your sin, your secret sin, had been publicized in church with everybody watching? They knew who you were or thought you were, but your sin said something else. For that moment, they many times judge you not by your good, but by your bad. You can do all the good in the world you want, but mess up one time, and those who mess up all the time will act like they've never sinned and like you've done the worst thing on this side of glory, when most of them have done what you've done and worse. And Jesus, no doubt, is observing all of this and looking beneath the skin. And so Jesus recognizes that this woman is at the lowest state, no doubt, of her life, has been made a public spectacle. And here, from the eldest to the youngest of the scribes and Pharisees, instead of showing mercy, as the Old Testament scripture would suggest, in many cases, they wanted murder. They wanted to stone her to death when they were the ones who set her up. So Jesus stoops back down and writes again. And they keep on asking him. He's like, listen, I really was trying to give you all a chance to back off this thing, but since you don't, now again, keep in mind, the first time he stoops down, he writes, we believe what? Sins. All kinds of sins. And the next time he writes, he's writing names. I preached this before, you know it. Names. What names did he write? The names of those who were standing around, who set the woman up, who singled her out, and who sought after her. Those were the ones whose names he wrote down on the ground. And then, because they wouldn't go away, he got up again. And he tells them, I tell you what, yeah, go ahead on stone. He that is without sin, of course, let him cast the stone. I need him who is holy and righteous, who is worthy, who has the privilege to cast the stone at her. You started off. And here's what they were afraid of. That if he had stooped down a third time, he would have connected the names with the sin. Now, the older wise men recognized that. Listen to me well. Because they had sense enough to know this Jesus was a lot smarter than they gave him credit for, a lot wiser than they gave him credit for. This Jesus was able to read them better than they thought he could. Now, here's what scholars tell us, that when he wrote down the sins, it could have been from the word graphian. Graphian, what does that mean? That means a record. So if the record they wrote down would have been the sins against them, then the word that he used in this text was catagraphian. Catagraphian, which means against. So Jesus wrote a record against them. Against them. Listen to me well. Which meant this: he who is without sin. Now, let me just put it all together right quick. The sins, the names. If he connected the names with the sin, here's what he was saying. I am writing a record against you. Listen, not that you did not commit adultery, but that you thought about committing adultery. And so Jesus went much deeper than the act. He went into the thought processes. You see, there are a whole lot of us who haven't done something, but we sure thought about doing it. Yeah, now y'all can act holier than thou again with me. Just because you haven't done wrong don't mean you ain't never thought about doing wrong. Just because you've never sinned don't mean you haven't thought of it. Just because you haven't committed adultery don't mean you haven't thought about it. Don't mean that because you haven't done this or done that or whatever the case is, don't mean that it didn't cross your mind and you think, what if? The only reason why many of us don't do it is because we ain't got the wherewithal to do it. Opportunity has not found itself. But let opportunity, and ain't nobody looking, you'll be surprised what you wouldn't do while folk are looking that you would do when folk. Why do you think when folk go out of town, they let their hair hang down? Why do you think folk do stuff in the dark they won't do in the light? Why do you think folk, the boy who was the prodigal son wanted to do his dirt in a far country away from his family, friends, and those who knew him? Because when he wanted to do his due, he wanted to do it where folk wouldn't care. And he did what was in his mind and in his heart. And Jesus said, listen, catagraphy it. If you never thought about doing wrong, then cast the first stone. Now, who would be worthy? Who would be worthy? See, that's why you young women need to be careful how you dress. Especially in the house of the Lord. You got some holy and righteous men. And some of them old. Love the Lord. Love their wives. But when you come around there half dressed and skirt barely covers what need to be covered, stuff popping all out the front and stuff, you make an old man wish for younger days. And he tried to keep it holy. That reminds me of my wife when she was younger. No, your wife may have never looked like that, but sometimes you wish the young woman could be your wife and all the things like that. Or young man, oh, he's some fine. That's a tall glass of water there. Oh, you, come on, y'all can act holier than thou if you want. But the truth of the matter is, many of if we could do it, we would do it, but we can't. So that's the only reason why we ain't done it. So be careful how you judge somebody else. Can I just be real in the house this morning? If I ain't talking to you, I ain't talking to you. I'm just talking about the truth. And so now, Jesus, the woman is still standing by herself. Because from the eldest to the youngest, they walked up and looked, saw the sin, saw their name, said, oh, Lord, let me get on out of here. Turn to walk out. Young men come up there brazen. Let me look and see what. All right, then. Somebody done told him something. Let me get on up out of here. They start walking on out there. Before you know it, when Jesus rises, he looks. Yeah, where they at? All these folk that was egging me and pushing me in to do something, where are they? And he tells the woman, he said, woman, where are those thine accusers? She looks around. I don't know. They're not here. He says, well, if those who are accusing you are not here, and I'm the only one qualified to stone you, then I won't do it either. I'm going to introduce this new word called grace. Grace. Listen at the five words Jesus says. Go and sin no more. In Greek, the number five means grace. Grace. Now, what's interesting is most of the power words of faith are five little words. In the Old Testament, grace would have been mercy. Five letters. M-E-R-C-Y. Truth, Old Testament or New Testament, T-R-U-T-H. Trust, T-R-U-S-T. Faith, F-A-I-T-H. Power, P-O-T-H. W-E-R.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.